You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on November 9th, 2001.
There is a sadness attendant on the annual leaf fall that's only partly assuaged by the beauty of the autumn colors. We look forward to autumn, and we seek all places where we can view this burst of red and gold, and incidentally take advantage of the last mild days of the year. Most of us treasure those days because we know what lies ahead. We monitor the steady stream of migrants, and finally some of us follow them south. Those of us who stay behind can contemplate the consequences of the leaf fall, perhaps even divine a purpose for it. Let's deal with a few statistics first. Take that maple tree in front of your house. It's an old tree, perhaps 75 feet in height and as much as 60 feet across. Normally, sugar maples growing in the open are shaped somewhat like an egg on a stick. The crown is much narrower at the top than at the base. Let's say the average spread is actually about 45 feet. In addition, the first 5 to 10 feet of the tree is bare trunk, so the crown is about 65 feet deep. A column averaging 65 feet in height and 45 feet in breadth contains over 100,000 cubic feet. That's enough space for a lot of leaves, and green leaves are actually pretty heavy. Remembering a few June and October snowstorms, we know that wet snow on the foliage can produce more load than the tree is designed by nature to withstand. Huge branches may break. Leaf fall removes that hazard. Fresh fallen leaves still contain moisture and nutrients, which they surrender to the soil or the atmosphere. During the summer, a tremendous volume of water evaporates from the foliage. One biologist estimated that it amounts to over 5,000 gallons per acre per day. That's the output of 15 to 20 mature trees plus undergrowth. The source of that water is the soil, the atmosphere, and of course the process of photosynthesis. The tree's principal site of water exchange with the atmosphere is the leaves. Thousands of tiny pores called stoma, which open or close as needed, allow the exchange of gases with the atmosphere. Since the tree needs to retain a certain reservoir of water, in winter when photosynthesis ceases and the sources of replenishment, either from the soil or the atmosphere, are reduced, the waterproof seals at the base of each leaf stem help eliminate water loss. After they fall to the ground, the leaves rapidly lose their color. I believe we could look at this as the first episode in the process of the decay and gradual return of the substance of the leaf to the soil. If you shuffle through the layers of leaf remains in the forest floor, you'll find evidence of the stages of leaf decay. The photosynthetic parenchyma cells are first to rot away. The water-carrying vascular strands resist decay longer, so it's possible to find leaf remains from which all of the parenchyma cells have disintegrated, leaving a lace-like skeleton. The skeleton consists of the veins that carried moisture and nutrients during a time when the leaf was functional. The intricacy of lacery reveals how important the moisture supply was to the leaf. It may be of interest to know that these leaf skeletons are preferred by most wood thrushes in the construction of their nests. Like the robin's nest, which it resembles, the wood thrush nest is crafted of grasses, leaf remains, paper, mosses, and other objects discarded by the careless hiker. These are bound together by mud. The lining of the nest is invariably rootlets. Many other creatures use dead leaves for their nests. The point of this nature ramble is to suggest that the leaves of hardwoods, if they remained attached to the tree, could become a liability, especially if the passageways with the outside remained open. Leaf fall occurs because a layer of cells at the base of the leaf stem seals off the connection between leaf and branch. Release of the leaves removes a potential burden, but it also provides a boon for creatures who use the leaves for everything from food to nesting material. Finally, the leaves are defabricated and a tremendous amount of superfluous nutrients is returned to the soil to be used again. If we could follow as readily that process of waste disposal in our own lives, we might discover some major deficiencies we'd like to correct. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Week saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.